Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
All right, welcome back. It is hour three, the final hour of In This League, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. They give us 3 hours to do this. I don't know if they know we're here. Again, we weren't on the Follow Friday tweet. Thank you, Drewzilla, getting our back. They're putting us on the tweet, literally tagging everybody but you and I.
Well, you know.
They told us, they're like, yeah, you don't hear anything. That means you're doing a great job. It's like, okay, but do you know? Like, it's one of those things, like if a tree falls in the woods, like if you don't know we're here, like, are we doing a show?
Well, I mean, we're definitely doing a show. That happened. Hey, look, you know what? As long as the check clears.
I couldn't agree more. That is literally the most important. We said it before. Most important thing about hanging out with us from the listeners is you pay for everything. That's the most important thing.
Right, exactly.
Well, so. I mean, and you know, all jokes aside, because there's people that have no sense of humor and are sticking the muds and don't realize that's a joke. I also love to buy people drinks. And then my favorite thing, especially when they host really big podcasts, they don't buy me a drink back. That's my favorite thing. When I try to bridge the gap and I buy them a drink, they say thank you, an expensive one, and then we go to get a drink and they're like, you gonna drink here? And I'm like, I'm gonna go over here. They're like, okay. And then they ignore.
All right, I'll see you later then.
I'll see you later,
goodbye.
That's my favorite bit. So I like to do nice things for people.
If you want my free chair, you can. I don't have time to wait around for it.
I'm having a lot of fun.
This is the Welsh's this is your most fun that you have, but you specifically like it when I join in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had this whole conversation yesterday where I was getting dogged on a little bit about the stuff that I do. And you said you cut like 5 minutes out of a podcast we just did recently. Oh, yeah. Because of stuff I was saying.
It was like 3 minutes, but yeah, I did.
I didn't even know what I said.
Yeah, well, I did, and that's what matters.
But was it mean, or was I just, you said I was poking, and this person's
it was a little mean, and, you know, possible sensitive Sally, so do that.
Yeah, because that person's poking lately.
And that's what I do, like, you know, sometimes you go a little overboard, and then I will, I'll be like, okay, we're going to ratchet this back, we're going to take that part out. And we're just not going to worry about it. But you specifically enjoy it when I'm like, no, this needs to happen.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. It's when I know I'm not alone, because I like entertainment. But I'm also like, I mean, I'm not a teddy bear by any means, but I can be. I can be really nice. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. People email. They're like, I love your show. And I'm like, hey, man, that means so much to me. Like, I'm genuinely nice, but the bad gets pulled out of me really quick. And as I get older, it's coming out much quicker.
Well, see,
premature anger,
which is not the way it's supposed to go.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm supposed to chill out.
You're supposed to get better about it. But it is, I think it's kind of like it's almost like a confirmation when I join, you know,
that I feel like I'm not. Okay. Yeah. You nailed it, dude.
This,
like, I feel better.
100% correct. And so let's really do this then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but that's a great thing about us. That's something that's made the Black Book show so great, is people get a different dynamic of you and I. And it's this dynamic where
make fun of Joe.
Yeah. We make fun of Joe. Like when we're in a spot, this is our real life. This is why people love what's also / hate us, is if we're in like a room with a bunch of people, and then Bogman and I, we get to start going to work, and we just go to work on everybody, and we're going back and forth. I mean, we murder. And we don't get to do that when it's you and I. We have to pick on each other. So
or like the Walmart, Dave Attell and Jeff Ross.
Yeah, exactly. That nailed it. That's like a perfect example. What's that horrible, horrible show they did on Netflix? What was that called? Bumping Mics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bump. That's what essentially
where
what
they
we
just
do.
Roast people. Right.
Yeah. That's what we would do, but we don't get to do that. But on the Black Book, we do get to do that because
I
there's another
walk
mic
up to someone and roast them because of the way they look ever. Like they'd have to stick their foot first.
Can you believe
like,
by
I
the
did
way?
A dinner the other night and then you wouldn't stop roasting me. So.
Oh, it's I mean, I can't tell people how much it's my fa- and only two people know. Jag and Colin listeners are the only two people that know what happened and they love it. They just love it.
Secrecy. So
yeah.
What was the question you're going to ask me? We started this. I have a question to ask you.
I want to ask you real quick. Could you handle those roast battles? Did you know, like, I didn't realize those are still, that's like a thing now. Every Tuesday, there's some club in LA, maybe a couple, that they, because I was listening to Rogan, and I was with some comedian, and they were talking about how the Tuesday nights, one of the clubs in LA, they host the roast battle, and I don't know if everyone's familiar with it. Like, it's essentially, I mean, it's a Jeff Ross thing, but they also did, on Comedy Central, they did, like, a roast battle tournament, and if you ever watched an amazing show, and I haven't finished the final season, which I think is the final, Crashing on HBO. Yeah. There's an episode in season 3, I think it is, that that Pete Holmes
can't handle it. He's a crybaby.
Yeah. Well, have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. Where he goes and he does the roast battle, but then he kind of unleashes. Like, it's kind of what we are, but I would cringe going to one of those shows at a roast battle because people are vicious.
No, I not only would I be able to handle getting roasted, I think. I mean, I couldn't. I'm not inviting people to roast me. Like, if you roast me on Twitter, I will block you. Like that. It's got to be in context here. First of all, not only could I handle that, but I think I would also be pretty good at that too, at firing back like on the spot.
Oh yeah, no, so. You would be great at that. So maybe that's the spot. Let's do the roast battles. I've been trying to get you to do stand-up comedy for years.
I don't think you could do the roast battles.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? I'd end up fighting somebody.
Yeah, right,
I'm
exactly.
I'm way too sensitive. So. Absolutely. I mean, you word something wrong on Twitter, and I'm going to be like, should I block this guy? Like, absolutely. I couldn't do it, but I could be there to
today.
Watch
today. I saw that. So.
Yeah. Was I going to? Yeah. Probably.
Yep.
Yeah. From FNTSY.
All right,
not
let's
putting
move
us on the tweets. Okay. I'm just joking.
All right.
Abrupt turn in conversation because yes. I almost missed both of those breaks and I didn't get to tease that we wanted to talk about football because I do want to talk about some NFL because ironically it actually feels very like hangover-ish because we had such a lead up to the NFL draft and then it was NFL draft weekend. We did the show. You were doing the live streams. All this stuff is going on.
I had a literal hangover. Like I wrote up all the offensive players every single day and did rankings and did streams for the NFL draft. So if you want, that's more content over at patreon.com/ITL Army. So I had a literal hangover where I forgot to go to Carl's Jr. the Welsh and I had to go and make up a day
last
because
night.
I had literally forgotten it. So
yeah, you had a big thing. So in kind of like NFL draft hangover fashion, what I want to ask you, because you've had some time to process, we've got an episode. We're going to do it this week. It's going to come out next week because we have too much stuff going on. We have an NFL draft recap show we're going to do. Then we've got one that's going to come up, maybe review. I don't know if we're going to do a show on it, but we started doing the slow mock draft so we can potentially do something with that. But what I want to ask you is a week out of it now. We're out of the hangover. You know, you've had time to decompress. You've had time to maybe sit on everything a little bit. Do you have an opinion or two that has changed since the first day or two of the draft? You look at some spots, but then the more you sat on, like one, an obvious one that I want to point out that maybe we take away is something where Josh Jacobs goes to the Raiders and then Isaiah Crowell busts his leg and tears his ACL. And now it's him and Doug Martin, which maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe that's kind of, just a counter move that they made that doesn't change much. But, you know, now you've had time to sit on some of this stuff and you think like, okay, you know, rumors of Tariq Cohen maybe getting less work usage is good for David Montgomery or N'Keal Harry fitting in New England is fantastic. But like, has anything changed for you post draft over this last week?
I think I'm probably a little bit higher on the Arizona wide receivers in particular.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just, Andy Isabella, I had kind of ranked lower as far as my receivers when I was doing the pre-draft process. But I think going to Arizona in Cliff Kingsbury's air raid system and them getting the quarterback to run this, I think it's a really, really good fit. And I also think that Hakeem Butler is a really good fit. Now, you know, there's only one football to go around, and they already have Christian Kirk, and they already have Larry Fitzgerald too. But they're going to see a ton of four wide receiver sets. So I expect to see, you know, unless something crazy happens and someone else wins one of those jobs, which I guess it wouldn't be all that crazy. I mean, they did also draft Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State, who is a decent wide receiver as well. So I expect those guys to see a ton of snaps and get a decent amount of targets and catches. So
they might be moving up boards.
Yeah, I think they should move up boards a little bit. I mean, they're still probably wide receiver 4 or 5 range. But I think I like those guys.
Andy Isabella, because Andy Isabella is the top Cardinals quarterback for you, right? Or wide receiver.
Wide receiver, yeah. The rookie, yes.
Rookie. Did they also get, what you're saying, did they get, I'm completely drawing a blank. Did they get Hakeem Butler?
Yeah, they got Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella, and they drafted Keyshawn Johnson from Fresno State.
They did do good. Andy Isabella or Deebo Samuel, who do you like this coming year? Because I think you like the situation. Yeah, I was about to say, I think you like the situation of Isabella, but you personally love Deebo Samuel.
I think this year, like in dynasty ranks, I'm taking Deebo.
Easy.
But yeah, because we just don't know how this situation in Arizona is going to work and if it's going to work. Like, you know, they were willing to make a change on Steve Wilks after 1 year because it just did not take. It didn't work. Like, it was clearly not going to pan out. So if something were to be that bad in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, you know, I think everyone would be gone. I think top down, you know, it would be the Bidwells or the only people left from the year before. I think they would fire, you know, pretty much everyone. The
Amazing.
Coaching
they
staff
stuck around too.
The coaching staff, Steve Keim, they would all go. So if it were a disaster. So I think if you're talking dynasty, you'd have to stick with Deebo because, you know, if they change the whole system, I don't know how Andy Isabella is going to fit in a regular system. And if he's going to stick around because a new head coach comes in and, you know, no one is their guy, you know what I mean? So it could just be a disaster. But if this works, Andy Isabella, Keem Butler could be huge pieces of it. So I do like them for this year.
Okay. Are there any others that stood out that maybe made a change post-draft, or was Andy Isabella kind of the big? I'm kind of curious if any of the running backs made a move for you, because I'm not really interested in the quarterbacks. They are what they are. Though I did find it interesting that there was almost this like coach speak versus the GM type of speak, where it was, Cliff Kingsbury was asked on, I don't remember, I think it was Jim Rome's show. You know, will Kyler Murray be the starting day quarterback?
Murray be the starting quarterback from day one? Cliff Kingsbury.
Chris Kingsbury. I'm going to keep calling you Chris.
Chris.
And Cliff Kingsbury was like, maybe, we'll see, blah, blah, blah. And then Keim is on Rich Eisen, asks the same question, and Keim immediately goes, yes. And they're like, oh, without hesitation? He's like, yep. So
that's
like
a stupid question to ask. Like, I mean... The coach, of course, I think is going to say veiled things. So he gives his guys. Yeah, it's coach speak. He's going to give his guys a chance to, you know, a guy has to go into camp. He's got to win the job, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they're not going to start Brett Hundley. You know, that's not going to happen.
I mean, literally Kingsbury was like, we got Brett Hundley and we really like him.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they like him. But Brent Hundley is a backup quarterback. So he's not a bad backup quarterback. And specifically in the system, I think he fits well, too. But you draft the Heisman winner, a guy that has already run most of your base stuff. And Kingsbury, I put it in one of my articles. There's a video of him talking up Kyler Murray in October when they were playing Oklahoma, Texas Tech was. And he was talking about how much he likes Kyler Murray and how he scouted him since he was a sophomore in high school. So like he's always wanted this tool. So he is going to be starting Kyler Murray from day one.
And I was just talking out, like, I'm not interested in the quarterback talk as much, even though that is something that's maybe got a definitive. But is there a running back? And it might not be, but is there a running back situation you've sat on more? You know, like I said, and this is where you could bring up, you know, Jacobs without Crowell, though they brought back Doug Martin. David Montgomery really seems to kind of be sliding in. And I see this big resurgence. I'm not quite there because I think Miles Sanders is going to be number three on my list, but I see people that like Miles Sanders as the number one running back out of this class. So has there been any change for the 2019 season after this hangover of the NFL draft on the RBs at all for you yet?
Not really. I don't know that there are many. I don't know that anyone outside of Jacobs is going to be unbelievably impressive. There's guys that I like that I think are going to have great careers, like Montgomery and Henderson and Sanders in particular. But I don't know that for this year, because the stuff with Miles Sanders, who I really like Miles Sanders, and I hold to this point I made on the Black Book Show, the Welsh, where if he had been starting in another situation or had not been behind Saquon Barkley for two seasons, we would have been talking up Miles Sanders way more than we did in the pre-draft process this year. But Philly always screws with the running backs. It's just what Doug Peterson does. He's not going to give anyone 200 carries. So I don't expect Miles Sanders to come in and get 200 carries. Do I think that he's going to come in and get the majority of the carries? I think he's already the best back in that system. So, but I would probably put a max at like 150 to 170 for him. So I think, you know, David Montgomery is, I would put more carries on David Montgomery than I would on Miles Sanders, even with Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis, who they're going to use. And that's like, David Montgomery is a good pick, but he's going to be super frustrating in the beginning of the year, I think. So not much has changed there for me.
Yeah, I'm into Montgomery. Well, when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about the NFL draft, all the things going around football. We're doing that slow mock draft. It's brought up some interesting questions also for this 2019 season. Bogdan and I kind of chatting over a few things. And also it got us looking at, you know, just peeking around at some ranks around, you know, the hemisphere of fantasy and some really interesting stuff. And we had one, maybe we'll come back with it, a talk about what the top end of the draft looks like. One guy that really feels like he shouldn't be out, but he is. And then really a good debate that's inside the top four. So don't go anywhere. Bogman the Welsh in this league coming up.
Football talk.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for
In This League?
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Chris Pavona, we love you. Shout out. We miss you. That's his rejoin. He did a good job. Welcome back. It's In This League. On Twitter, at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports. That is where you can find us. And if you want to get more involved in the universe and be, I don't know, support something that you love, patreon.com/ITL Army. There's a 10 more content there. Live streams, secret shows. We're doing movie, TV stuff over there, comedy based stuff, prospect lists, NFL lists, all that stuff is going on because we try our best to not let any of the fantasy sports conversation die throughout the year and take a look at it. You know, we're in May. And Bogman's been posting football content for the last 5 months. I mean, it's been NFL draft podcasts. We did a pre-draft one. You did the videos. You've put some articles up. And the most recent thing we've done with some of the captains, the highest level in the ITL Army, which we endow them with a mock draft ability and stuff like that, is we are doing a slow mock draft over on ITL right now. And it just so happened, Bogman, you, I don't know how it happened, Bogman, but you just happened to get the first pick in that mock draft. I don't know how that happened.
That's very strange. To be honest, I just said it at random and I wound up, I didn't even know I had the first pick until I looked and I thought I had set my auto draft on because I knew it started somewhat early.
Well, you auto drafted, but
I did auto draft, but I took you took me the guy I wanted. I wanted Saquon.
The number one. Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, one overall.
Yeah, this is on Fantrax. So, you know, there could have been some other systems that if they were up, might not have allowed that. Luckily, Fantrax did have that, and you were able to get Saquon Barkley. Now, here's what I want to ask you, because we briefly talked about this offline. The number two pick was Zeke, which is, you know, pretty locked in. I had number three. And there's two guys that are in that mold right now. One, and what's hilarious about this is the two guys are both attached to us. You're a Christian McCaffrey guy, and I'm an Alvin Kamara guy. And those have been kind of our two guys. But for me this year, I had to take Mini Hulk himself. I went with Christian McCaffrey at three, and I felt pretty good about that. I asked you about it, and you had said something along the lines of like, yeah, I thought it was really difficult between like Elliott and Kamara. And I'm like, well, what about McCaffrey? This is your guy. And you're like, well, and you had some thoughts about it. And then when I went and looked around, everybody has McCaffrey as a third back this year. And this is a PPR format. That's what we consider standard now. So you got McCaffrey, and really maybe even in actual standard, you know, no PPR, it might not really matter. But everybody had McCaffrey at three. I took him at three without hesitating, but you were kind of like, hey, man, look at Kamara. So talk to me about that battle that you see between Kamara and McCaffrey at three.
Well, the thing with McCaffrey for me is, you know, I said that he could get way more work, and no one believed that. Everyone kind of thought, not no one, but most experts thought, nah, he's going to be, you know, your 150 carry guy, and he's going to get like 75 catches. And, you know, so that's 225 touches. That's nice. But he's not going to be a guy that gets 300 touches. Well, he had 219 carries and 107 catches. So he was, that's 326 touches for him. I mean, that is a lot for a guy that most people think is smallish. And if you paid attention in the preseason to what Ron Rivera said, and I know a lot of this is coach speak, and, you know, the Welsh and I just talked about how Cliff Kingsbury was using coach speak when he said, nah, we're going to let it play itself out. We like Brett Hundley. Yeah, whatever. But Ron Rivera said, we're going to give Christian McCaffrey everything he can handle. He could get up to 30 touches a game. And most people rolled their eyes and said, no, he's not going to get that much. And I did too. But I said, you know, 20 touches a game to 25 touches a game isn't out of the realm of possibility. And that's exactly what he got. So I think that, you know, you got to listen to what he says now. And in this offseason, he has talked about getting him fewer carries because they want him to last, fewer touches because they want him to last. So I'm going to do that foolish thing, the Welsh, that you said. I'm going to take him at his word. Because, you know, we should have listened to him last year. And I think maybe Christian McCaffrey gets, you know, more like 275 touches.
Do you see what I
said? Instead of 325. I did not.
Look at your text.
What does it say? Bogman, when he hears you take McCaffrey at three.
And it's the
fake smile from Danny.
It's the Daenerys fake smile thing. And it's Bogman when he hears you take McCaffrey over Kamara at three.
Well, let's remember what Kamara did those first couple weeks when Mark Ingram was out.
Yeah.
Remember, he was number one by a lot.
Yeah. But my only caveat.
Ingram's gone.
No. And I mean, dude, I'm team Kamara. Love the guy. Love everything about him, huge on him. But here'd be the one caveat that I would throw to you, and I'm curious what your thought about this. I appreciate, and I actually think it's really astute of what you say to say, hey, listen, maybe we should listen to the Panthers and what they say, because when they say it, it's coming true in the odds of everybody scoffing. He did it last year, and if they say they want to taper him down, it's astute what you're saying. But there's another piece here to look to say that the one thing that the Saints love to do is run a version of a committee with their running back. And the Panthers do not do this. Kamara is going to get a big, he's going to have a huge role, but he didn't maintain a huge role. And I know Ingram was there, but they still didn't even, you know, supplant him and put Ingram back. Kamara has not had a season where he's had a full run. He's just had a period of time where McCaffrey is not in a situation where they would take away from him. They also don't have elite passing pass catchers there. McCaffrey is the number one option on that team. And even a small taper down without the opportunity to be subbed in, it kind of, it kind of puts McCaffrey in this optimal situation where even if you bring it back a little bit and he has 95 catches and his carries are down just a touch, I'm not sure that I say this when, God, the Saints could put out Kamara and he could drop three touchdowns, you know, a game. And he could go out there and do that stuff. But there's I know there's less options there in New Orleans. So they didn't they have an undrafted restricted free agent that they brought in there? They like to go committee sometimes.
Well, no, they brought in Latavius Murray.
They brought in Latavius.
Yeah, Latavius Murray has been used. And I absolutely think he will be used in this offense. I just don't think that Latavius Murray brings to the table what Mark Ingram does. So I think you're going to see a lot of usage out of Alvin Kamara and maybe probably the same amount that you'll see out of Christian McCaffrey. But when you're splitting hairs like that, right, I think you want the player in the better offense. And, you know, there's no doubt that the Saints have the better offense over the Panthers. And, you know,
kind of
it's
a double splitting hairs box. There's almost two hit because you can split the hair. Like I'm saying that there's another guy in New Orleans and that team has been known to split across. But then to your point, you can go and take that offense and you can say, well, take the best offense that's going to run more plays. So you can play it both ways.
And I mean, you can put in other factors here. We've seen Christian McCaffrey, with huge, games here. And What did Kamara do last year? Let's see. He had 81 catches on 194 rushes. So he's not far off. I mean, it's not 300 touches, but
think of, he had six games where it was just him. And then Ingram came in and took some of that role. So here'd be like a really interesting thing. Take what Kamara did, even with the six games without Ingram. And let's say Latavius Murray has less of a role than Ingram. It still might have the same impact without those six games that Ingram had. So that might be kind of a sample size for, like, if, at best, if you want to, I mean, give Ingram a 10% production boost there with Murray there, but you can extrapolate both ways. I'm not sure it puts me in a spot where I could take Kamara over McCaffrey because I can't see McCaffrey taking more than a 10% reduction. And that is still worlds better than the touches that Kamara got.
Yeah, I understand that. And look, I got to be honest. Like, you know, we talk about splitting hairs. If you're a person that says, how the hell could you take Kamara over McCaffrey? I don't mind. Like, it's those top four guys between Barkley, Zeke, Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey. I'm of the mindset of that is tier one. And however you want to order those guys, you order them, and I am more than okay with it. That is perfectly fine.
And you're right about that. You're right about that. What it leads to then is the bigger thing that I think is it's a tough spot that we're in because there's a clear name that you haven't mentioned.
Yes.
And it's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley Todd Gurley is, I'm trying to think, I want to do the, it's dark and full of terrors. Like, Todd Gurley is hurt.
Full of terrors.
Todd Gurley is hurt and full of terrors right now.
his limp is filled with busts.
It's a problem. I mean, we had a listener hit us both up about, you know, like a dynasty conversation about a draft, and he had the fifth pick, and Gurley was still out there. You adamantly are done with Todd Gurley, and I'm not done as a 25-year-old. I don't think.
Well, let's ratchet that.
You literally told me. He's busted.
I said he's got a busted knee. You said he's 25. I said he's 25 with a busted knee. And he is. And because this guy's options were Hopkins or Todd Gurley. And you know, wide receivers last longer. I've always talked about that. And they do. And, you know, the Rams went out and matched Malcolm Brown's contract offer, which everyone was like, whoa, what are they doing there?
Yeah, that's weird.
And they drafted Darrell Henderson, one of the best weapons in this draft at running back.
And to your point, to add on to your point, they also, I think there was some open stuff. I don't know if it was rumors or a conversation that was verified, but there's a talk of having more two back sets, you know, having a second back more involved in the offense. So I get that there's scares there. So dynasty is a little bit of a different conversation, but in redraft, it's weird. We're sitting here and we're talking about the top four, and that top four might even actually be Barkley and then the next three, because I think it's hard to take anybody over Barkley. But Todd Gurley is not a part of that conversation, and I don't I don't know if he's the de facto five at this point, because everybody is absolutely terrified with the injuries. And we've had this in sports before, Bogman, you know, the Kawhi Leonard stuff, where it was like, yeah, he's banged up, but he should be fine. And I'm like, yeah, he'll be fine and take him. And then he doesn't play the whole season type of thing.
Right.
How fearful are you for the 2019 season with Todd Gurley? And where do you think he's going to place? Because the more I listen to you, I don't feel like, it kind of almost sounds like he's not a first rounder to you.
Oh, no. He's definitely still a first rounder. Like,
but if he's broke, how is he a first rounder?
Until we hear that he is out for the season, because he was broke last year too. He played with an injured knee for most of the year last year and was still incredible. But here's the thing is, like, did you watch him in the playoffs?
Yeah.
He looked terrible.
Yeah, he looked bad. So he acknowledged how bad he looked. See, he was so bad that CJ Anderson was like a blessing.
Right. And he said, of course they weren't going to go to me. I was terrible, and CJ was running it down their throat. So, you know, not going to Todd Gurley is kind of a sign. Now, look, he has a whole offseason to get better. He can have surgery on it, but his knee is arthritic. Like, he has arthritis in his knee.
So can he hold up a season, though?
I mean, I don't know if he's going to hold up the whole season, but he can hold up for, I would say, a big chunk of it. Like, in this draft.
13 games?
Yeah.
Not a first rounder then.
Probably 13 games.
That's
so
not a first rounder.
Yeah, it's still a borderline first rounder.
13 games? I don't think that's a first rounder.
Well, okay. Here, this is what I'll say. 13 games of full Todd Gurley. I'd say 13 games of touches. I think what they're going to do, instead of him missing a game here or there, they're going to ratchet back his touches, which means that, Daryl Henderson will have some value and Malcolm Brown could have some value, but basically Todd Gurley takes a little bit of a hit. So instead of being in tier one with those guys, he's kind of in the back of the first round, more with David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner.
Who you like better, David Johnson or Todd Gurley? That new offense. I would say if you have fears of the injury.
Okay. Here's the thing. I have equal fears of the Cardinals offense just collapsing and not being good as I do with Todd Gurley's knee. I think it's fairly equal. So, I haven't sat and thought it out yet, but
yeah,
I think
this is all early, by the way. We're just having a conversation.
Right, of course.
Here.
Yeah. I know you're not going to hold my feet to the flames.
At all.
In August when we're talking about this, of course.
But these are the type of conversations, by the way,
news about Gurley.
And this is why this is great to have these conversations, you guys to listen, us to have them, because it can also help mold some of the thought process. So we're critically thinking.
Right. We're figuring it out right now as we're talking about it. So I think that I have just as much fear about the Cardinals offense collapsing as I do about Todd Gurley's knee. So I would say they're pretty much even at this point. I wouldn't say that. I'll tell you what, I like Todd Gurley over Le'Veon Bell, coming off missing an entire season, going into an offense that's not as good with a line that's not as good. I'll take Gurley over Le'Veon Bell.
I'll tell you, if you and I, this is the Marvel series, what if we were actually doing what if we were ever doing our 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book again? But if we were doing a football version, I think Todd Gurley versus Le'Veon Bell is an absolutely fascinating one. Because Gurley's banged up, Bell is coming off of a completely missed season. I think those guys are 1-1. I mean, there could be something said about David Johnson versus Todd Gurley, but I think Lev Bell is clearly going to be above David Johnson for most people. I think those two, Bell versus Gurley, are much, much closer. That bring up if we were to put a poll out there as well, I think it would be split. I'm not sure how comfortable people are with Todd Gurley right now, and I'm not even sure at this moment how comfortable I am with Gurley over Le'Veon Bell, because he is going to be everything in that New York Jets offense.
Is Gurley the clear five to you? Like, just it's far and
away. I don't
away.
Think so. I mean,
okay.
I don't think I want him to be. I want him to be, but I want to hear some positive news. If we hear positive news, absolutely. But if you have questions, if you're walking in with questions like this, I don't think Todd Gurley represents the answers that are better than a guy like Lev Bell. I don't, or David Johnson. I think there's a mix between there. If you want less risk, you take David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell over Todd right. Gurley. That's what you yeah. have to do. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think Gurley might end up sitting, unless we get positive news. I mean, his range is probably 5 to 10, but I'll bet you he's more like 7 to 8, somewhere in that range.
And the problem is this isn't a guy like Fournette. You know what I mean? Like, you like Fournette, but you're worried about his ankle or whatever, you know, him missing 2 to 3 games. You just take Reichwell Armstead, the guy they just drafted, and that's the handcuff. Todd Gurley doesn't have a true handcuff. No one's as good as him, and no one's going to just come in and get his production. They would split up carries.
And
no C.J. Anderson this year.
So. And there's not going to be, I don't think there's going to be a ton of love from analysts coming in. You know, he came off of a bad end of the season, a horrible playoff. C.J. Anderson ran through. He's banged up. They brought in 2 new guys. I think all of those pieces are going to have people moving away. When you start seeing all the articles, which you guys are going to see, you're going to see the, you know, top 10 busts for 2019. I bet you're going to see a lot of Todd Gurley on there. I really, really do.
And Fournette. So.
And absolutely, Fournette too. All right, don't go anywhere. Final segment coming up. It's Bogman, it's me, and hopefully you. So don't go.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
Bogman, you went out and saw Endgame for the second time.
I did.
Yesterday. And I appreciate that. I want to see it for a second time, kind of. You know what I didn't appreciate? We did. I thought we did a pretty damn good job. We did a damn good job on our in-game review. We cover a lot of stuff. If people are into the movie and seen it, we go through our theater experience, and I tell a super embarrassing story. We talk about all the we hit all the points with the movie. We do our top 5 Marvel movies of all time, and then we go through some speculation. But at the end, we were kind of like, you know, tell us what you think. You know, we're doing these movie series, and you know, we did an Endgame, we're doing some TV show ones, and we're thinking about a next series. Maybe it'll be The Expanse, and, you know, like, Bogman's reading, like, sci-fi books, and I'm doing some of the graphic novels. We could do all this stuff, and let us know what you like, and you know, and I'm like, well, you know, don't be negative, but if you don't hear from me, we'll assume you don't like it. I haven't heard one thing from anybody. I'm deleting everything. Everything is going. I haven't heard one, you know what? I shouldn't say that. One dude on Twitter. I think it was Steve G. Is it my boy Steve?
Steve G. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Steve is in the industry what we would call a P1. He's a P1 of ITL content. He is interactive. He's commenting on all the stuff. Love me some Steve G. Outside of him, haven't heard a single someone. Oh yeah, I want you guys to talk about The Expanse. I want you guys to talk about this. Oh yeah, that'd be cool. The graphic novels. Nothing. Everyone hates us. I'm gonna delete all of it. I quit. Even put me on a follow Friday tweet.
Did you get it all out off your chest? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What if I told you that, you know, that Yahoo opened recently for football? See, they opened up 6 months ahead for football, but, you know, baseball will open up March
2 1st. Weeks. Yeah, we'll open up 2 weeks before the season starts. Hey, which, by the way, still to me is the most disrespectful. Yahoo is so blatantly disrespectful.
I don't know if it's disrespectful.
No, it's disrespectful.
Well, I get it because, like, you got to know that football is the only thing that brings them money over there. It has to be.
No, you know, you're right, Bogman. I forget. They're really busy spending their time working on the back end so Shohei Ohtani could be one player. I forgot. They're really trying to fix their system so they can utilize that. They're also definitely trying to have, you know, dynasty abilities to be in there, multi-team trade, stuff like that. They're really trying to advance their system in baseball. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot. I was wrong. Oh, wait, no, they're not at all. Not advancing any of the product except for football that they put out in May. Baseball just opened 6 weeks ago on Yahoo, look, dude, and football's already open.
Look, I mean, I'm the guy to go in on this, but we could do this all day, and we have stuff to talk about.
We only have
about,
one more so. Segment. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So I looked at Yahoo's preseason ranks. You know, take a look at those ranks, see what they're all about.
You're looking at
Todd Gurley. Well, why don't you take a guess where he's ranked all on right. Yahoo?
So I said, how about 7?
Lower. 12. Or I guess higher, whatever you want to go.
Yeah, I know.
Keep going lower.
Not on the wheel? On the 13?
Not on the wheel. He's not a first rounder.
Whoa. 15.
Lower.
20?
20.
What?
He is 20.
What?
Overall. What?
What?
Yeah. So Saquon, Zeke, Kamara, McCaffrey ahead of him, right?
20?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
What number did you say it was, Bogman?
20.
Move this man! Move!
20?
I just, okay, so we know the four running backs, not 20th running back, 20th overall. So we know the four guys that are ahead of him. Le'Veon Bell ahead of him. And you said that would be a nice debate, right?
I thought it would be.
Okay. Melvin Gordon. Okay. I could see Melvin Gordon ahead of Gurley, right?
Yeah, I absolutely see it too.
David Johnson.
Yeah, I told you, I see that one too. So we're at 8 now. He should be.
Okay. James Conner.
I get it, but no.
It's just because he had so many touchdowns last year. He had 12.
Yeah.
So, but they drafted Benny Snell.
I mean, you're the Steeler guy. You can take Connor.
They drafted Benny Snell.
You're not taking Connor. Not taking Connor over Gurley.
Not unless I hear worse reports about Todd Gurley. I'd have to hear more.
I totally agree with that. Like,
right.
It's all speculative at this point. This, us doing Little John here, what? That he's 20 might be a little bit like, oh yeah, like in 2 months when they say it's a degenerative problem and we have to limit him to 15 carries a game and they tell us a bunch of menacing news. Like if we get that, like, okay, but I don't know. No, like you don't even have that right now. You just have what happened and he is 20?
20. Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb are the other two ahead of him.
I mean, I get it. I get what they're trying to do, but no.
Yeah. The guy scored 372 points last year. And this was that's in PPR, and that's with the knee thing and him missing two games. You know, he missed two games and scored 372. The only two guys that scored higher than him were McCaffrey, 385.5.
Are there any more running backs?
Barkley, 385.8.
Are there more running? I mean, because I want to hear
the
wideouts.
No, the rest are wide receivers.
So he's running back 10.
Yes. The wide receivers ahead of him here are, hold on, let me go back.
He's barely an RB1 for them.
Hopkins, Adams, Julio, Beckham, Michael Thomas, Juju, and Antonio Brown.
Wow. Juju over Todd Gurley.
Mm. And Juju had a great year last year.
Is there anyone else? Is that all the players?
No. Yeah. Well,
put Travis Kelce above him.
Let me look. Let me look at tight ends. Kelce might be ahead of him. Kelce is Kelce and Kittle are ahead of him.
Oh my God. Oh.
Kittle's at 18.
We know who 15. Not to tell that about with Kittle.
And 18. And Ertz is one spot behind him at 21. And the next highest tight end they have is at 60. OJ Howard.
Wow. OJ Howard. I like that. I like that for my bet.
And then Hunter Henry way down here at 60. At 61. And then Ingram at 66.
Well, and we place them on Yahoo. I'm going to have no shares of those tight ends. We were doing our mock and you were like, I had the third to last pick in the second round. You're like, Kittle's still there. And I was like, stop it.
Well,
stop it.
Yeah, I had 1,300 yards.
I love
year.
George Kittle. Yeah, to be honest with you, I kind of wish I had a George Kittle jersey. I would wear a George Kittle jersey.
Okay.
But
will
you
buy a meth pipe with it?
I got two. Oh, he does. I mean, he kind of looks.
He kind of looks like he's still West Virginia.
You know, that's I can't fine. Though because you know Chase Bank and two jobs and stuff. But if a listener wants to buy me one,
then, there you go. Yeah, put it out there. Yeah. Maybe it'll happen.
It'd be a date.
maybe you keep attacking them for not commenting on our Infinity War thing. They'll definitely buy you something. So
that's a good point. You. That's a good point.
Yeah, I just like looking at that. I was really, really surprised. I mean, I think that's got to be the low end. You said
two
two
tight ends above Todd Gurley.
What?
I'm sorry. I just like still processing it. Like
up Fantasy Pros real quick.
Yeah, I got Fantasy Pros. They pulled the draconian model of this right here for him to be at 20.
You're gonna have to go ahead and explain that one to me.
Draconian is like a worst case scenario.
Okay.
Like the lowest mod. Like it in business, if you were putting out like ROI for you're doing an event or something, you'd say best case, your middle case, and your bottom would be like the draconian model, like the worst case scenario that you would have.
Dracarian model.
Dracaris.
Yeah, you light it on fire.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So Todd Gurley at 20 here. But you can look at what's his overall rank. And then I know on Fantasy Pros, you can click on him and see who is ranking him where. Or I think
I got
actually
all of
on
ready.
That page, you can do, you know, high and low.
Yeah. Okay. So he is the 7th overall player.
That sounds more like it.
RB6, Melvin Gordon is above him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's RB5. Hopkins is above him.
Okay.
The best is 1.
So excuse me. Hold on.
Yeah.
Excuse me 1 second. Hopkins is ahead of him in redraft.
This is redraft PPR.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're not looking dynasty, are you?
I want to point that out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I get what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not dynasty though. Either.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. You can do it. High is the 1. And the worst, take a guess what the worst is.
26.
31. So now I'm pulling up. Okay. So do we want to pick on people?
It's Raju Byfield.
it's gotta be.
It's always Raju Byfield.
All right,
whenever
sweet.
There's some crazy one way at the bottom, it's Raju Byfield.
Where do I find the people?
You click on his name and I think
ranking. Okay, I got it.
Yeah,
I got it. All right, so let's see who has him really bad. Well, I guess it goes by position, so I'll have to tell you who has him lowest at the position. Wow. Okay, I have a great explanation for you, Bogman. Are you ready?
Yes.
The two lowest people on him on Fantasy Pros right now have him at RB17.
17.
And RB16.
17.
Would you like to guess what site both work for?
No idea.
Yahoo Sports. Liz Loza. Sorry, I don't the L's. I should be used to L's. Liz Loza, RB17. For
17.
Todd Gurley and Dalton Del Don, RB16.
16.
Scott Pianowski over at Yahoo has him as RB9. So, I mean, that's still crapping. And I'm trying to see who else here. Andy Behrens has RB8. Brad Evans.
Brad Evans from Yahoo Fantasy Sports.
RB13.
13.
And I guess, does Harmon not do these? I guess Harmon doesn't do this. So they're
just really paranoid about this.
They hate him. They hate his face. They hate everything about him. And Yahoo Sports could not be more disrespectful. But I'll say this, though. At least they're in consensus. At least it's not like
true.
Liz and Dalton who are crapping on him. And then Brad's at 3. They all just hate him equally. But
let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Is Raju Byfield done his rankings yet?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Clearly not, because I think he'll have Todd Gurley at like 68.
He'll mess up. I wish you would interview him. Like, I love it.
I think I emailed him one time and
he's like, oh,
he just didn't have time.
Oh, you got him. Yeah, no, I don't see it. There are five, dare I say, that have Todd Gurley is the number one running five people have him at running back 1.
Okay. Give us those names.
All right. These are Nick Mariano from Rotoballer.
All right.
Christian Brito from Eat Sleep Fantasy.
All right.
Chris Myers from Athlon Sports.
Okay.
Yeah. Not following a lot of this. Donald Gibson from Fantasy Fusion.
All right.
All right. And Mike Riggs from Gridiron Experts. Oh, and there's one more. Did I? So is that six? I don't know.
Six.
Armando Crespo from Eat Sleep Fantasy. Those are your number ones.
All right. Well, let me ask you this now. Is it more egregious to have Todd Gurley at like 13 or to have him at one over those guys that don't, that seemingly don't have this knee injury issue?
Boy, that's a really good question, because
I think it might be worse to have him at one, because at least you're doing your due diligence in avoiding someone that could be a problem when you're ranking them low. Now you're not now, and these guys aren't, they're burying him in comparison to where we expect him to go. Like, I would think that, you know, like 15 to 17 would be a low for him, not really 31, but I
that's
really
overall,
don't expect
overall.
Many people. Yeah, yeah, overall. But I really don't expect people to have him at one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how to answer that, because, you know, the guy that, you know, Liz, who puts him at 17 at running back, says he's garbage, he's broken, I want no part of him, and I'm not with that. And that means I will not own him. The person, you know, who was one of that had at one, Nick Mariano from Rotoballer, says I have him at one. You're inheriting a lot of risk. I would say, though, the upside of having him one and being Todd Gurley is greater than passing on him in the third round.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
I'm with that. Yeah,
I'm torn between this. I think you and I haven't, you know, gone really through the process yet of building our ranks, which we will, and they'll be over on Patreon. I feel like I want to say right now, I'm going to be an RB6 guy. I'm going to be torn between Johnson and Gordon, but if I feel okay, I think Gurley will be at six. And, you know, I mean, looking at guys who have him at RB6 right now, I see Matthew Hill, Bobby Sylvester from Fantasy Pros has him at six. I'm trying to see if I know Chet from Walter Football and any other sixes, Justin Pickle from The Hateful Eight. And he's all over the board. I mean, this is wild. From 1 to 17, as far as a running back goes, I can't imagine any of these other dudes have anything remotely close to that type of variance.
Yeah, I mean, it's because none of these guys have come and been the number one overall pick by a wide margin and then had, you know, an arthritic knee before. But this is your inherent game that you play with running backs almost every single year. You know, I mean, Zeke wasn't because of injury. It was because of suspension, but he was up and down. You know, Le'Veon Bell was your number one guy, and then he sat out the year. He was one or two last year, and he sat out the year. There always seems to be some weirdness with running backs going on, and this is going to be the Todd Gurley weird year. It's going to be where you get people that have him at one. They staunchly don't think that this knee injury is as big a deal as other people do. And you're going to have the other worry warts that put him at 17. There's no way I bury him at 17 unless some horrible thing comes out about his knee.
Yeah, we get the real bad. I mean, hey, maybe the Yahoo guys.
I think 10.
Maybe they know.
10 at running back, which would probably still put him in the first round, because what are you going to have, one or two wide receivers in there? It's like Hopkins.
You probably have him at the wheel.
Yeah, right around the wheel. That's probably where I would put him. If I was drafting this second, just because we don't have knowledge about the knee injury. Yeah. If I did it, I would have worn gloves that fit.
Yeah.
And I would have put him at the wheel. That's what I'm saying.
It's an interesting conversation, and it's going to be, it's going to be building up a lot more over it in this league. So I'd implore you guys, go check out the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast. We've got a draft recap coming up. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure some of the, like, you know, near future plans. We might break down a mock draft, but once we, you know, God, man, once we start getting into like the June, July, you're going to start seeing more stuff happen. And then we're going to be breaking out some of our ranks and all of that. So make sure you're locked into InThisLeague.com. And if you don't want to miss a minute of it, patreon.com/ITL Army, right? Boggs, get in on
That's
it.
That's right. Do it.
Get in on it.
If I did it, I would put $20 in.
I like it. All right. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Thank you guys for tuning in. You guys can catch any of this in the podcast version. You can listen live whenever it is. But otherwise, go rock it out. Follow us on Twitter, and we will talk to you guys next week. Peace.
For you.